Welcome to The Atypical Podcast from theatypicallife.com. I am Matt Mooney.
And I'm Jenny Mooney. Here, we take a look at all kinds of things.
We may tell stories. We call them side stories. Welcome a friend to join us or interview someone more widely known and ask them all kinds of questions. And sometimes, yes, sometimes we may just do a little Matt chat, discussing the current happenings of our life.
Through all of it, we hope to give you something atypical as you listen along your typical day.
Do that, but this is a dash pull. It's right. Going to take a while to get this done.
I understand that going forward. Can I talk? Just let me know when I can talk.
If you're not going to yell at me, I'm delighted to let you.
I'm not yelling. You'll know the difference if I'm yelling. I'm not yelling. Well, hello, hello, and welcome to a Matt Chat. Jenny, are you over there?
I'm here.
How are we feeling, Jen?
Well, my blood pressure has come down just a little bit, Matt. So there we were about to start the podcast, and we get a phone call, y'all.
Actually,
all
Jenny,
the atypicalers out there, you need to know that we get a phone call prior to recording.
Actually, Jenny, interesting enough, I had pushed record. I'm just realizing that I had pushed record, but carry on.
So we're you know, mic checking, 1, 2.
Oh,
yep,
on the mic
this.
Check, 1, 2.
And we get a little phone call. Well, we've had some problems with my vehicle, see, and it's under warranty.
Valerie, we call her.
We call her Valerie. She's under warranty. So, you know, the dealership was going to take care of it, and there's been a little situation with it 3 weeks later.
Well, Jenny, and so they're... I'm going to try to catch people up. I don't think they're caught up with your explanation, but we just got off we'll call it a heated phone call. Would that be correct, Jenny?
That's an understatement.
And I take no joy in getting heated. In fact, I felt like we ended on a fine note, but there in the middle, I would call it is not as a fine note.
So let me catch our listeners up just a little on the situation.
I'm trying to get you to do that.
Okay. So, Valerie is the car. She needed a blower motor. Anybody out there know what a blower motor is?
We don't.
I don't know.
Valerie is a Volvo something 90.
SUV, yeah. And so she needs a new blower motor. She's under warranty. Hurrah. The dealer is going to cover it. So the place here shows me a picture. This is key for later. Of a part that's like burnt up.
Now the place here is not the dealership.
Not the dealership.
It's somewhere you've taken in. They recommended us going to the dealership because this is under warranty. This is harder than I imagined.
Yep.
You need
so we take it to the dealership.
Through.
This guy at the dealership helping us is like, great, get it taken care of. I keep trying to call him. 1 or 2 times he calls back. Fast forward 2 weeks, I call. I'm like, what is the story? I get a phone call back that lets me know that guy is no longer with the company.
So Valerie's just sitting at the Volvo dealership in Tulsa. And I guess they just thought, well, they actually told us, y'all can come get it. And we're like, did you fix it? No, we couldn't find the problem. We're like, well, we've got a picture of something burned out that the last guy gave us. You're going to fix that. So needless to say, we're getting into a little details, which is good because it gives us a little time for me to my heartbeat to come back down. Uh-huh. You know, I don't enjoy now it's in my makeup. We've talked about the Enneagram multiple times, but I don't enjoy conflict or like it doesn't bother me as much as most people, but I don't enjoy it. I don't aim for it. However, this woman did not. She did not play her cards well in this phone call, Jenny.
She did. At one point in the phone call, she's on speakerphone with both of us. And at one point she says, Mr. Mooney, just let me talk to Miss Mooney.
And let me.
Which is not really what you want.
That's not really the way that that's going to go. So I informed her.
Gosh.
I thought I informed her very clearly that no, she was going to talk to me. And if I wanted to talk to someone else, I would have that right.
So,
but she didn't have the right to tell me who she wanted to talk to.
It did end well. She did say she wanted to help us in the process.
I think
though,
I helped her understand.
Yep, you
it's
did.
Gotten
you did a,
little, a
good job.
So what we've missed is the phone call was it might be 2 more weeks.
Now
so
that it's been there 3 weeks.
It's been there 3 weeks. They haven't done anything. Now that we sent them the picture after they tried not to fix it, they've got to take the dashboard, which, dun, 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 back up. We knew all this before, Jenny. We took it in with all this
guys,
knowledge.
Guys, it's getting hated again.
We took it in. This is how it went.
This
is how it went. I've actually, like, you actually have screwed up. And I need you to accept that you screwed up and deal with it.
And it had to do with the staff change.
Don't act like
which is
I'm the
fine.
Problem.
You, she just should have
It's
said.
Not fine. It they should make it right. We're right. paying for a rental
oh,
car.
Gosh. Oh, gosh, guys.
$35 a day. We're paying for a rental car while they change their staff and screw around. So let us know out there. Maybe you have tips as you're listening for how to deal with when you've been wronged. And it just doesn't seem like you're getting the customer service that you should be getting. How do you deal with that well? As someone who wants to love people, wants to be like Jesus, how do you handle that well? It's a constant struggle for me because I'm going to handle it. The question is, am I going to handle it well?
That's a good question.
We're all still a work in progress. We're going to hug. We're going to kumbaya it up. And so as we move on, Jenny, I want us to move on. It's going to be hard for me mentally to move on,
yep.
but we're going to do this. And so we just welcomed you guys right into our lives. Come on in, open the door, plop yourself down on the couch, and here we go. Jenny, you've got a new favorite follow on Instagram. You want to tell us about it?
Guys, Instagram has really enriched my life, if you will, once again. There I was. I don't even know. You know what? I hit the. I don't. Matt, you do this more often than I do. Do you just hit the explore button? Is it explore or search or whatever?
You're going to have to tell me what
you
did.
That can get a little risky because it just shows all these different things.
Risque or risky?
Probably a little bit of both.
A little bit.
It's always kind of weird. Like when I hit it, there'll be like categories, you know, like. My categories are like nail art and celebrities, which are not things I follow on Instagram. So I don't know why like they're showing me that.
Fingernail art?
Nail art. It's like videos of people doing fingernails. I don't understand why
wish
that's
that,
on my
wish
feed.
Wish that was on mine.
Anyway, it lets me down. But this time, I hit search for something. And I notice video, and I think it looks kind of funny. It's one of those filters on this girl. And I click it, and I'm dying laughing. The account is Heather Land. We'll link to it.
You could find that link at theatypicallife.com or there in the show notes. We will link right to it.
_ I ain't doing it. And so she has some filter with her face and it's really funny. And she just does these little, but the whole Instagram account is her kind of like, honestly, it's like ranting.
It's your, it's she's ranting. Basically she's, making a comedy yes. show much in a much funnier way out of what you do. Jenny.
Yes.
She takes a topic. And she lets loose on it.
Yeah. And at the end of every little post, she says, I ain't doing it. And she's in this like country. So let me give you an example. The first one I clicked on was about CrossFit. And I was dying laughing. She was like addressing people who check in on Facebook at 5 a.m. on their way to CrossFit.
Jenny, I will try my dangdest right here to get a little bit of sound from her account and drop it right here.
Listen, just want to thank all you CrossFitters out there for checking in with us on Facebook at 5 o'clock every morning. I'm glad to know how many AMRAPs you were able to get in during your WOD before my feet ever hit the floor. That's good information to have. You're better than me. Is that what you want to hear? What? Oh, I know I could be there, but I didn't really have death penciled in on my schedule today, so I think I'm gonna pass. You people. Pretty sure wall balls and bear crawls ain't how I'm going out. Jesus is taking me home in a cocktail dress, okay? Not my dancing shorts. I swear. Tell you one thing, I'd rather catch my pinky toe on a bed frame than to be caught dead at CrossFit. Mm-mm. I ain't doing it.
So she ends with the danskin. She's not gonna go out in the danskin tights or shorts or whatever.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, she's just saying, you know, she had said when Jesus takes me home, I'm gonna be in a cocktail dress and not my danskin shorts, which means like your spandex shorts.
Gotcha.
I'm not gonna be wearing those because you're not gonna catch me doing CrossFit.
So she takes a different topic. She rants on it always in the same way.
Uh-huh.
And
it's hysterical.
It's pretty funny, y'all. And I've seen my wife derive more joy from it. And so, you know, when we find joy, we want to spread it. We probably found it. You probably found it a week ago.
Yeah, and she had like 3,000 followers, and now she has like 10,000, and who knows what it's up to now.
And you know, just like the Atypical Life, she's taking it viral.
Taking it viral.
She's catching on like wildfire, just like we are, Jen.
Yeah, all the listeners.
Jenny, there's another thing that we did. We just returned from a weekend trip. We did kind of a last minute. The kids were out of school on Friday, so we did a last minute book it. What do we do? Let's go do something because things have been busy and we've had soccer. I feel like we always have something that we're just pushing the kids to the next thing. Get ready, get ready. 7 days a week currently, four nights of soccer, so on and so forth. And so we were just like, let's
leave.
Let's not do it this weekend. We're not doing it. We're going somewhere. So we loaded up the kids in Matt's 40th birthday new car, and we had enough room. It was a thing of beauty. We loaded up Pearl. And we headed to Branson, Missouri, Jenny.
We did.
Now, if you out there, we have so many listeners nationwide, even in other nations. I mean,
Debbie,
we're global.
Hey, Debbie.
And here's the deal. If you don't know Branson, and if you're not in our area, you most likely don't know Branson. But it is that's the deal.
That's the problem.
How do you explain this?
It's sort of like, it's in the Ozarks, so it has like a hillbilly theme.
It's in Missouri.
They have all these like shows where we will like sit around like country music, or it's kind of like Vegas.
It's basically like Vegas for retired people and older people
in the hills.
And so the shows,
like the country,
the shows are people that you may have been popular 20, 30 years ago. And there's tons of shows. I mean, the entire city is built around, it's an entertainment destination for retirees, pretty much. And there's a family aspect to it. So there's a place that we went, Jenny, called Silver Dollar City.
It's like an amusement park. But again, the theme of the amusement park is like Pioneer Day Hillbilly.
Yeah.
So it's really bizarre. It's a difficult thing to describe. And I looked around as we were Silver Dollar sitting, and I looked around and I thought, what are all these people doing here? This is so strange. And then I was like, well,
We're here. But we did have a ball in Branson, and there's good restaurants. There's good places to stay. We went to a place, had a beautiful pool, overlooked the lake. The Ozarks are a beautiful place. It's a really beautiful setting, but it's just the most odd, bizarre Las Vegas's leftover stuck here in kind of a country town, country theme kind of place.
It's
but
so weird.
We took off. We kind of did it because it's close. There was Silver Dollar City, which is like a theme park, and the kids love that. We'd been once. This was our second time to go. But I mean, we could probably do our own. We could do its entire podcast on Branson. I mean, no problem.
No.
But we won't do that. Maybe we'll do that later. But Jenny, I wanted to focus in on one particular part of our trip. So we went to Silver Dollar City. The next day we went to this like place where you bought a ticket and the kids could, there were ropes courses and there were all kinds of things
like indoor
to play on.
It's an indoor like adventure place, so there are like tunnels underground and a ropes course and a climbing wall, you know, things like that.
And so we bought our tickets, we went in, and Jenny, I, you know, there's so much to do and so much of this place, but you were really fixated on one single thing going on kind of in the middle
of, you know, most of this trip I purposely left my phone, you know, like zipped away somewhere. I wanted to like just play with the kids and not have my phone out. And then there are things like that happen and you're like, man, the only way to remember this moment would be to capture it. And that was one of those moments. So picture, if you will, two middle-aged people, a man and a woman. They are in matching attire.
They
are
the
in black Adidas track pants. Mm-hmm. Both of them black.
Are.
So they're exactly matching. They're both in black T-shirts and they're both in black tennis shoes.
Now, I think the important part of that is middle aged, because many older couples dress alike. And I've even told you, Jenny, I think there's an age that you get to and you wake up and you're like, you know, we should just wear the same thing
and go to Branson.
We've been married now, you know, 50 years. We're 75, 80. You and I.
We're the same thing.
We know, Jenny and I know, that one day we're going to wake up and think it's a good idea to wear the same thing, because apparently that happens. However, I'm backing up here, and there's plenty of that going on in Branson. This was not that. These were what, younger than us, probably? 35, 40, 45?
Okay. They're about our age. 40.
So let's say upper 30s. Jenny, you're upper 30s. I'm 40. Yeah. I don't know if you knew that, but here they are. I just wanted to set that stage. I think age is important. So continue on.
And the it's not like Silver Dollar. It's not like an amusement park where it's really crowded. There weren't a ton of people there.
No.
Most of the people there have sort of like exercise clothes on because they're like climbing walls and that sort of thing. And so I guess this was their version of that. I don't know. But I could not stop people watching. Because they just stood there hugging. It was PDA.
It was way worse than hugging.
It was like swaying and hugging. And it was just like it wasn't like a hug and then move away. It looked as if they were on the dance floor slow dancing. And it was in the middle of this adventure kids play place.
You hit the nail on the head, Jenny. They were slow dancing with no music and nobody else dancing. A lot of pawing. Lots of pawing, lots of
like
man behind
rubbing.
Woman a hug around embrace. And so, Jenny, I mean, we could describe them and their track pants more, but the point is, I have come up with a list. I need everybody just to go ahead. All you atypicals out there, maybe this is your first time listening. Maybe it's your, 69th, 70th episode. Whichever one you are, whichever category you fall into, there comes a certain time in the podcast where Matt just has you get out your pencil and take some notes sometimes.
Go ahead and get it.
This is one of those times because this is Matt's PDA rules. Are you ready, Jenny?
I'm ready.
Okay. Rule number one, don't do it. Okay. That's the rule. And all rule it's pretty short and you need to remember rule number one, Jenny. Here's the deal. PDA, whether you are a teenager or 75, nobody wants to see that. Okay. However, there are a few more rules. So if you are so caught up with your beloved, we've been in this moment, Jenny, we are in love. I love you. You love me, whether you like it or not. You said I do. And we are in love. So we're just going to continue on. But remember rule number one, don't do it. It's three words. I feel like we can all remember that. However, if you're caught up in the moment, you hear the music, nobody else does, you're in the middle of Fitz's Adventure Emporium, and you just have to touch. I have some more rules for you. Rule number two, Jenny, the PDA should never involve the bottom. Now, this is an...
Oh, my gosh. I'm not comfortable where this Matt chat is going.
I feel like this is an important rule for some people. You would think that this would be intuitive. Apparently, it's not for everybody. We also were at the fair. We also were recently at a minor league ballpark. And all three places, I feel as though I should have had little leaflets of my PDA rules.
Yep.
And rule number two can keep you away from a lot of looks of disdain, a lot of parents covering their children's eyes at what you're doing in public. And that is, it should never involve the bottom. If you keep it above the waist, we can do away with most issues.
I take this match yet.
It continues on, Jenny. We're not done yet.
Oh, gosh.
Rule number three, the three Mississippi mug down. There should never be more than three Mississippis of any embracing or kissing or patting. Three.
What about standing there hugging?
Let me tell you about standing there hugging. One Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi, let go of her. Okay. I like to make my rules where everybody can understand and everybody can follow. Rule number three, three Mississippi mug down rule.
So in a different direction, the gal on Instagram, right, is making me laugh. A totally flip of that, a good friend of ours who's been involved with Nine of Balloons and Recess recently has said, you know what, I'm going to not do social media for a year. Now, to some people, that's no big deal, but she's like a little bit younger than us. She's newly married. I guess they've been married a few years.
She's probably like native
but
to
no
this stuff.
Kids yet, and has just said, I wonder how many people in her generation actually truly say, I'm going to turn it off. And they really turn it off for a whole year. She's cutting it out for a year. So
I think that's awesome. I've seen a lot of people talking and calling out kind of, man, there's a lot of negativity. Everybody's opinion, Trump's really apparently into sports now. You can tell he's a real athlete by looking at him. I can just imagine a headband holding that hair in as he runs down the field, down the court, any sport. I can just imagine him being a baller. But Trump is apparently real into the NBA now. He's disinviting Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors, and he's talking about NFL. He's telling them what to do. So, of course, they go. Everybody goes and does the exact opposite of what he says. And so it's just this huge hubbub.
Big divisive thing.
And everybody on social media, you know, suddenly cares about everything to do with sports. But I've seen a lot of people just kind of calling out the negative, like, this is not good for me. Yeah. And I think that's a good thing. So I think it's really cool to, we should have her on an interview or see how it's going.
I would really love to know what it's like for her. I think she's just starting right now. I would say, you know, typically in our Matt chat, we'd say, here's the story. Go follow her on Instagram. Yeah. You know, like that's you're used to doing that.
Unfollow
There's nothing to follow, but hopefully we'll have her on.
I think we should ask her. I think we should do a check-in with her like every quarterly and say, are you on it?
And what she's learned. I'm real curious as to what she's learned. If you think about how you connect with people, it is just so kind of normal now. Like instead of like I'll send someone a direct message on Instagram that I maybe haven't talked to in a long time, but I need to tell them about something. You know, it's just so ingrained. So how do you, what does that look like? Will she have more phone conversations? Will she text a lot more? I mean,
take more naps,
curious.
Have more time. Good for her. So, hey, if you're out there, maybe you're out there and you're doing a little social media fast yourself. I hear of a lot of people kind of talking that up in and around Lent. People will do that.
Yep.
And so, but that's like, you know, that's 40 days ish compared to a year. So, if you're out there and you're doing that, we'd love to hear from you. Or if you've ever done that and what you learned, we'd love to know it. Jenny, periodically, we like to do a little thing where we just ask one another, what has caught your attention maybe this week or just lately? You and I both believe, as Frederick Buechner puts so beautifully, that God speaks to us through our lives, that he's with us in our everyday mundane things. And so if that's true, then things should be catching our attention and we should be learning about him through the daily events of our lives. And so I wanted to ask you this week, Jenny, what caught your attention this week?
So when I was younger, Matt,
I never knew.
I jogged a lot. And now I don't do as much because of my back. I do it every now and then. But my mentality when I would go for a run.
Can I pause this? Because I know you're talking real serious. You're going to get to a great point. But I just have to tell everybody out there, Jenny loves to run. Now, I know that some people being me, can't fathom loving running. But we have often jogged together many a time, I would say. And I just moan and gripe the entire time.
He's so pissy.
Here's my favorite thing about running is being finished. That's the only thing I like about
it. But it gets like my endorphins going. It's fun. I just want to chat.
Where are my endorphins?
Anyway,
back to your run, because I think people need to know it's like a life-giving thing to you.
Yeah. I don't do it as much anymore with my back. I can't do it like I used to. But anyway, so when I was younger and I would run, my mentality going into a jog was how important it was to not stop till you're finished. You just like keep going, like go harder. Like if it hurts, like hurt worse till you finish, you know, like
Nike push. Or Reebok or Under Armour.
And one thing that I've thought about, because now when I jog because of my back injury, like I'll have to stop and I'll have to take a deep breath. I'll have to walk a little bit and then I'll maybe get to jog again after that. And so it's kind of seemingly a dumb thing, but I thought very similar to that was when we went on our little trip to Branson and we just took a pause for life. You know, you run through life, you're busy, busy, busy. We talk about rest, but people don't really know how to rest. It feels as if you have to finish that race. You have to finish that run. You have to like push harder. If it hurts, keep going. But there is something so beautiful to me about stopping. And what happens now, if I am on a jog, having problems with my back, I have to stop. It's just so much better when I start back up again. And I just feel like our pause, if you will, our break, when we just got the family, we said no to a few things over the weekend, and we just got away. It was just a pause.
Yeah.
And that's so healthy and good.
I would encourage everyone just to say no to something, you know? I think it's Bob Goff that always says, what are you going to quit? What are you going to quit this week or this Thursday? He always asks on the same day, what are you going to quit? What do you, you know, to make more margin in your life? And I love that. And so I think my favorite thing about our time away, and I echo that, what you said, was just not doing some things. Just being like, we don't have to do that. Just because it's on the calendar. We're not going. We're skipping it.
Saying no.
Thank you, Jenny.
It was so good. It's hard for me to remember because things are full, and the things that are good things in my life that are required of me sometimes just kind of spin too fast.
Yeah. And I think you and I, because of losing our first son, Elliot, you know, sometimes we kind of feel guilty for the normal activities of mothering and fathering to be overwhelming or exhausting to us.
Yeah.
Because it's everything we wanted.
That's right.
It's everything we dreamed of. And so when you get there, you're really hesitant to complain about it. Like, you know, it feels a little bit like you're on a trip to Maui and you're complaining about how your steak is a little bit underdone. It's like,
it does. That's,
I mean, this is what
analogy.
I wanted. This is the greatest thing in the world. Yeah. But
and it
this.
Is.
And yeah. And I think you and I are quick to say, like, we love the stage of life and we love going to soccer practices and we go in different ways and everybody comes back and we're hurrying and scurrying and it's second, third and fourth grade and we're doing it. And we think that's so beautiful and we're so appreciative to God in that. But also in that, like, it's okay for us to also say, oh, it's hard. It's busy. It's difficult at sometimes in different ways. And so I think it was a good break for us, Jen.
A good pause. Matt, what about you? What has caught your attention lately?
Well, Jenny, as we have discussed a few times, I turned 40 not too terribly long ago. And so I think just God is doing an interesting thing in my life where in many, many different directions, it is very clear to me something that I've referenced Elliot quite a few times, but something that he so vividly taught me through Elliot that he continues to remind me of, which is just that life is fleeting. So my father is that my parents just moved to the house that they're going to retire in. He's retiring in December and getting ready for that. Your father is walking through cancer, as we've talked about, and cancer treatment, and it's very heavy and it's been hard. And so in different ways, both of our parents are walking through things like, well, this is just a different phase of life. I am turned 40. Mm-hmm. I look at our kids, second, third. I mean, they look so old
to
me.
They look so old.
I'm like, who are you? I still think I need to, like, swaddle you when you go to bed, but you're a third grader. And so I think it just in so many ways, God's reminding me that. Now, with that said, I'm not sure what I am to do with that. So all that I know about that is there's ditches on both sides of that. Like, okay, life is fleeting can lead you to a place of fear very quickly.
Sure.
Or control, or I got to do these things because life is fleeting. And the other end of the ditch is, you know, life is fleeting and wah, 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 you know, be sad about it. Somewhere in the middle of those ditches is something that I think God is teaching me. But to be honest, I'm not quite sure what I'm learning from it as much as it is daily coming before me. I mean, in just crazy ways, in ways I'm not even mentioning, that, you know, life is short, time is precious. And so I'm trying to sift through what it is I'm supposed to get from that. But I am often reminded of that reality.
It's interesting how that's a lesson that I feel like we kind of come back to, and it changes shapes and forms in different seasons. So obviously that was a big part of Elliot's life, was that we only had our days with him were numbered, and we like held on to that. And then you want to take that with you, you know, and keep living that out. And it just changes throughout the years to, like, it comes back to it. It's back around at age 40 and in the season. What does it look like now?
Yeah, I've got this theory that, you know, you basically have like 3 to 5 epiphanies in life, and you just keep revisiting.
Totally.
Like life lulls you into a place where you forget these things and you're like, oh yeah. And I feel like this is one of those for me. And I feel like, maybe some of us have friends who just learn new, unbelievably things that they put into their life and they live them out on a yearly annual basis, but I feel like most of us are just circling around these 3 to 5 lessons that we've learned over and over and over again. And we're just trying to put them into our daily realities as we grow and hopefully as we mature.
So along those lines, one thing that we've talked about here on the podcast that's a big part of our lives right now is that Nine on Balloons is 10 years old.
And yeah, so, that's a whole nother era of, wow, I cannot believe that.
It's just bizarre.
That Elliot would be 11, that the organization and the work of 99 Balloons is celebrating 10 years to me is just kind of unfathomable.
So it's a super reflective time for us, and we've asked others to jump in and reflect with us.
Hi, my name is Josh Bell. Elliot was born, and that's how I became involved, basically. For me, it's all about Elliot. And while I would love to say that 99 Balloons and Recess and have really been something that would have been important to me and are inspiring to me, and they are in retrospect, the connection to me is Elliot. I had the distinct privilege and opportunity to hold Elliot often, early in the morning, late at night, any chance I got. And I think the impact and the draw for me comes in the fact that Elliot's parents did such an incredible job loving Elliot, not only in spite of anything he had going on or all the complications that maybe some would call or that came with him, but because of. So I would have the amazing privilege to hold Elliot oftentimes early in the morning when Jenny was getting the 12 minutes of sleep she got a day. And Matt was trying to get everything ready for the day when Jenny would wake up so he could go get his 12 minutes. I would get to hold Elliot, and I would know and feel what it was like to be loved by a God that included everything about who Elliot was, because I saw Elliot's parents love him the same way that God loves us. And it was all-inclusive, and it was everything they loved about him. They loved every single peculiarity about him. And knew about it and obsessed over it and were so into it. And I think holding Elliot and looking at Elliot's face, you understand how he creates each one of us so different and how much his love is not only in spite of however he makes us, but because of. And that has been life-changing for me. And I feel the same way when I look at his older sister, Lena. Two very inspiring humans. So I'm not involved with 99 Balloons or Recess because it's some great thing that I feel called to. I'm inspired because I see human beings like those two. And they remind me how inclusive our God's love is for all of us.
Thanks so much to our good friend Josh Bell for that. We'll be sharing some more highlights of the work of 99 Balloons as well as the story behind the work of 99 Balloons and where we've come in these last 10 years. Took me a little while to gather myself in order to speak into this microphone after that. So I appreciate that, Josh, and you remembering Elliot with us. And so if you would like more information about how you can get involved with 99 Balloons, we believe in that work. And we believe, just as Josh said, that God loves us all and made us all. And that's the message that we're carrying to our friends with disabilities literally all across the world through the work of 99 Balloons. We'll have links to 99 Balloons as well as other things that we discussed and talked about today. Hope you have a good week. We love you. Bye-bye. You were going to ask me afterwards if I had anything that caught my attention.
What about you, Matt? Is there anything that's caught your attention lately?
You know, I think as we have discussed... What is that? Ted. Oh, hi, Ted. The obese dog just took...
You know, I think he's lost some weight since moving in.
So he's still obese. I mean, if he would have cut in half, he would have been less obese, but still obese.